Whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound. Spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will, make come. Whosoever will, send the proclamation over vale and hill. Is a loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. My fellow Christian friend, you have heard the joyful sound that Jesus says, and that whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely without cost. So you be sure to join the great company of God's messengers throughout the human race worldwide. I am Missionary Richard Yerby, one of our Lord's messengers in the Buddhist idol-worshiping nation of Japan. I now continue with another sermon taken from Job's declaration of "Neither was I quiet," written in chapter 3, verse 26 of the book of Job in the Old Testament. The title of this sermon is "Lift Up Thy Voice." First, listen as I read Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. "But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein, lamentations and mourning and woe." That's the Lord God speaking to Ezekiel. I'm finished reading that. Here, the Lord God is commanding his prophet, "Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house." Now, how could Ezekiel have been rebellious against God at that time? The main way would have been for him to disobey God's clear command to him by closing his mouth and being quiet and not saying unto these stiff-hearted, rebellious people, "Thus saith the Lord God." But good old Ezekiel was like Job, so he obeyed God in this matter and was not rebellious. May God help you and I to be like him. Let's pray that. Heavenly Father, please give me clear guidance as to where, when, and how that thou desirest me to proclaim thy word. And please help me to not be the least bit rebellious about going out and preaching in the manner that thou guidest me to do. Amen. Think seriously on what God gave Ezekiel to eat. A book. "And it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe." That sure sounds like a bitter diet, does it not? Not a delicious, enjoyable feast at all. Studying God's holy Bible diligently, I have no doubt about what lies ahead for my sin-laden homeland nation, the USA. Lamentations and mourning and woe. Also, I have no doubt about what lies ahead for this heathen, pagan, idolatrous Buddhist nation, Japan, where I have spent well over half a century proclaiming, "Thus saith the Lord God." Ahead is lamentations, mourning, and woe. That awaits this mass of Japanese Buddhists that I'm in the midst of. Smile. God loves you. God is love. Something good is going to happen to you this very day. God is good, God is good. Sing it with many vain repetitions. Woe is me if I only preach such as that. I certainly do preach of God's love and of his rich goodness, mercy, and grace unto us. But God has plainly told me that it is most important to also preach to everyone these holy scriptures, Lamentations and Mourning and Woe. I believe that ever so soon from now, desolations are to come upon us like a whirlwind. As our Lord spews lukewarm Laodiceans out of his holy mouth, and it's getting worse as the months go by. And in the near future, with a greatly puzzled look upon their faces, many Laodicean Christians are going to be pondering, where's God's love? Where is that good thing that is going to happen to me today? May God help me not to be rebellious against that leading of his to proclaim the soon coming desolations. May he help me to be like Job. Neither was I quiet. Many Christians who believe and love God's holy word tend to consider all the men whom God used to pen his holy Bible to be dead and gone, out of the picture. But each of them is just as alive as he has ever been, and he will always be alive. You know, it is likely that they look down on each of us believers who live after their time on earth to see what each of us do with the precious eternal words that God used them to pen. How much and how often do we read what they wrote? How much do we believe it, obey it, and practice it, and lift up our voices to proclaim it to others? I meditate on the severe hardships and persecutions that most scripture recorders suffered through while being used so greatly of God. Many of them were martyred for their God, murdered for speaking the words that became God's holy Bible that I have. Precious treasure it is. Thus, God forbid that I should be concerned about my safety and be afraid to stand out in front of this present stiff-hearted, rebellious generation and proclaim their words to everyone. Those Bible writers suffered horrible persecution because they boldly and unashamedly lifted up their voices and spoke those words that God ordained to be his eternal words to mankind. What a rich treasure I hold in my hands when I hold those written words in respect for and in honor of what those Bible writers endured at the hand of the enemy who is just as real today. I simply love to stand out in public hour after hour, day after day, year after year, decade after decade, and literally wear out Bibles, telling all the stiff-hearted, rebellious God haters around me what Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Paul, John, and all the rest of the men who pen God's eternal Bible has to say to this degenerate human race. Neither was I quiet. Don't you be quiet either. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I believe that those men who pen the Bible are looking on with great joy as I preach to everyone I can God's powerful truth that those men pen for the Holy Bible. One day soon, I will have the glorious privilege of meeting all those men in person in heaven. I sure would not want to meet up with them in glory land, full of shame and embarrassment over the fact that I never used all that heavy spiritual artillery, those weapons those godly saints provided for me to use. After I arrive in heaven, I so hope all of them will be coming to me, telling me what a joy it was for them to watch and listen to me using their words against the wicked generation of my time. Words for which most of them got severely persecuted and even killed for speaking and writing those words. Oh, how I want to preach all those words to the whole world. I want to do exactly what my God commanded Ezekiel to do in chapter 2. Also, I want to be perfect and upright like Job, who proudly declared, "Neither was I quiet." Lukewarm Laodicean Christians lavish much spare time living for the unlimited number of pleasures of this present modern world, having so little knowledge of what those men wrote in God's Holy Bible, neither applying it to their life nor proclaiming it to other people. You such lukewarm Laodicean churchgoers are going to be so ashamed and embarrassed when you meet up with those holy men in heaven, and the only greeting they have for you is a disappointment-laden, "Howdy, stranger." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, drive home to my heart the reality and importance of what Brother Yerby just said here. Help me to seriously think on this blessed truth that up to now I have hardly considered. As a saved person, I will soon have the wonderful privilege of meeting people in person. Each of these men whom thou chose to pen all the words of thy holy Bible, please make me totally aware right now of what a glad reunion day that will be if now I study their words diligently, as diligently as possible, believing and obeying all those words, and wear out Bibles proclaiming those words to as many people as I can. May it thrill my soul thinking about how happy I'll be when I meet all the Bible writers in heaven, if I only now lay aside safety and rest to proclaim to everyone within my hearing, all the eternal truths of thine that these men have penned. So please help me to do that, Lord. And please help all my fellow Christians to do that also. Amen. You radio listeners who hear me for the first time now and think of a Christian friend you would like to have listened to this sermon, tell your friends about these sermons, the audio being on my website, that they can open up my website and listen to the audio. My website is christisall.us. Separate the three words with two hyphens, christ-is-all.us, and open up the link that says Radio Sermons Audio, and scroll down reading the titles of each of them and such. I would appreciate you if you would tell many others. And if you and me and other present-day Christians will do this most wonderful, God-honoring, God-glorifying, blessings-filled act of standing out in public and declaring, "Thus saith the Lord God to everyone," then do keep the words of Ezekiel, words in Ezekiel chapter 2, foremost in your mind. They will fortify you, give you courage, and keep you from getting discouraged when few people heed or when no one heeds God's word that you preach to them. Let's now look at another excellent example for us street preachers. I'm reading now 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, parts of it. "For if God spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. That's all I read from there. Noah's age is given as 500 years old in Genesis 32. He got to be an old man. And then in Genesis 7:6, God tells us, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. So it looks like Noah spent those 100 years building the ark and preparing for the flood. I believe that Noah was a preacher of righteousness to the world of the ungodly around him for all of those 100 years, and likely for some more years before that 100-year period started. Besides his other seven family members who entered the ark with him and were thereby saved, apparently Noah got no other converts for preaching 100 years or longer out in public. But look keenly now at what an important thing Noah accomplished by preaching righteousness to the world of the ungodly. I read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By his preaching, Noah himself condemned the world. This was most important in relation to God judging those evil sinners. From what is written in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, I believe that people who do not hear God's truth during their lifetime are afterward judged and condemned by the evidence of God, their creator, that was in his creation around them, if they didn't seek out the Lord after seeing that evidence. Reading Romans 1, verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Any little lad or girl, lassie, on seeing that, can set their heart to seek their creator God, and he will be revealed to them if they do, and they will be saved. And if they shun that, then God is just in sending them to eternal torments of hell. But God is also most desirous that every human creature hear his words contained in the Bible. And when we believers broadcast those words of the Bible to everyone we can, we accomplish two gravely important things for the judge of the universe. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14, 15, and 16. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet Savior of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one, we are the Savior of death unto death, and to the other, the Savior of life unto life. Ending that reading, those people who heed the words of the Bible that we preach to them and therefore repent and receive Christ, therefore and thereby receive God's eternal life. What an eternal joy this will be to us preachers and to the ones who receive our preaching. He that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. Amen, Brother Richard. Preach it. Thank you. I get joyful when I preach. Rejecting the word preached unto them condemns the people who spurn God's words that we broadcast. God has ordained that we believers have a part in their condemnation by ordaining that we preach the Bible to every human soul that we possibly can. Paul said that God maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. So let you and I do that, brother and sister in Christ. Paul could say that because he went everywhere he could, preaching to everyone he could. And when Paul went and preached to people, he told them everything they should know about God, because he declares in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Paul did not preach only of God's love, mercy, and grace. He didn't go around singing something good is going to happen to you today. He also reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, causing old Felix to tremble there in Acts chapter 24, verse 25. Therefore, Paul could say boldly and honestly, "Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Acts 20, verse 26. Apparently, Paul did not have any blood on his hands when he is judged. I don't want to have lost people's blood on my hands when I'm judged. And you don't either. Think about that. You really don't. You and I are also duty bound to God to take the gospel to everyone that we can. If you do not have the ability to go far, then just do what you can. That's what is spoken of the sister who anointed Christ's feet in Mark chapter 14, verse 8. Christ commended her. Jesus said, commending her, "She had done what she could." You spread the word of God to people around you where you are. When no one is in sight or in sound of you, then intercede to God for lost souls. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 commands us, "If we preach to people when they are in our presence and pray for them when none are in our presence, then we can say along with perfect and upright Job, neither was I quite." Noah condemned the world of the ungodly. That's the way it's written, the world of the ungodly, by his obedient act of building the ark. He also condemned them by preaching righteousness for 100 years or longer. God greatly rewarded him for that, and Noah became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Oh, how blessed that is. Noah put his faith in God to save him. Then he acted on that faith, obedience, by building the ark and by being a preacher of righteousness for one long century, 100 years or more. May God help you and I do just as Noah did. And if we live to be over 600 years old, may we do a lot of proclaiming righteousness so that we also can be that blessed. After this life, all the Christ rejectors presently around you will be condemned by God in judgment and thrown into eternal hellfire if they die in that state of rejecting the Savior for the world. God has ordained that all us believers be a part of their condemnation by clearly warning them to flee the wrath to come. If we will warn them, I believe we will be present when they are judged, and God will point to us and say, "He or she, my messenger, told you so," as he banishes their lost souls from his presence forever. But if we fail to do what we can warn them, then regretfully we will have their blood on our hands when we are judged, and that will be most sad and regrettable. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help me to be a preacher of righteousness to the world of the ungodly around me. Teach me how that thou hast ordained that I have an important part with thee when thou judgest all the ungodly around me. Thou hast ordained that I warn them to flee the wrath of God that is soon to come upon them. So please help me to make manifest the Savior of thy knowledge in every place that I can. Please help me to declare all the counsel of God to everyone I can. Help me to always intercede for lost souls. Please help me to be like Job. Help me to be like Ezekiel and Noah. Help me not to be quiet. Please help all my fellow Christians to do these things also. Amen. The world of the ungodly around you does not want to hear from God, their Creator. They do not want to be condemned for their much sin and wrong by you as God's messenger. Instead, they want to be praised for their evil. And in our most evil and perverse generation, so many people are heaping praise upon evildoers, condoning their many gross sins, even standing up for their rights to sin, and making more and more gross, abominable sins to be legal in the eyes of government. Therefore, the wicked are becoming more proud, bold, and boastful of their sins and more aggressive in them, throwing them off onto us. And they are greatly glorying in their sin and wickedness. They therefore give much glory to God's enemy, the devil, and they rob their Creator God of the glory due to Him. I rejoice to stand out in public as close as an arm's length from them and proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord God," to them. Oh, how those proud faces quickly become distorted with such sour looks, and what awful words from degenerate hearts spew out of those dirty mouths, simply because they cease to be able to rest easy in their wicked rebellion against their Creator. And what rich heavenly joy floods my soul for doing what God has commanded me to do. "Neither was I quiet," said Job. And I have gotten much joy out of proclaiming this sermon to you. Thank you for listening to me. May the Lord bless you today. May He do much good for you and all your extended family. God be with you until the next time I speak unto you.